All right. I am reading today from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 18 until chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is God's word for us today. Amen. So, some of you will know that before long, we're going to have some royals living among us. Well, not in Bloomsburg, maybe in Vancouver or something like that, but Prince Harry and Meghan are coming to Canada. All right, so I might not be quite as enthusiastic as that sounds, and you may feel strongly about that one way or the other, but you got to think, like, Prince Harry is a pretty exciting guy. I think about all of the things that he's got going for him. He is as well-born can get. He's got the Queen of England for his grandmother, and his brother's going to be the king of who knows what. He's been to all of the best schools and gotten the best education that money and power and influence can purchase. He's famous. He's well known. He's rich. He's powerful. He grew up in a palace. He lives in a castle. And while they're house hunting, I'm pretty sure it's not for a 3-bedroom, 1-bath kind of a place. Do you ever feel insignificant when you compare yourself to somebody who has all those kinds of advantages? I mean, who were your grandparents? Where did they grow up? What schools did you go to? What kind of an education did you get? How rich and powerful and famous and influential are you? Sometimes it might make me feel a little insignificant. There's something wrong. The Corinthians probably felt like that sometimes too. They were very much into what the pop culture of their day. They wanted to be powerful and to know the powerful people. If they had TV shows, they would have watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians. At least the young people would. The older people would have been watching the political analysis and advisors, finding out who was on the up and up and who had the most power and what people were doing. Maybe some of the others would have been right there on their computers watching TED Talks, listening to very well-educated, intellectual people talk about intellectual things and actually making them interesting. But they were all about knowing who was powerful and who was well-educated and who was influential and who was famous and who was well-born. And if you could be like that, then you were winning. Sounds a little bit familiar to our world today, don't you think? And maybe sometimes they looked at all of those powerful and famous and influential and educated, and everything that passed for wisdom and power in their world. And it might have made them feel a little bit insignificant in comparison. This passage talks about wisdom, but it talks about two different kinds of wisdom. There's the world's wisdom or human wisdom. Everything that our culture and our world says are really important. The things you need to know, need to do. Getting enough money, having enough education, saying the right things, doing the right thing in the right time, as far as our culture says. It's all the world's kind of wisdom. But the passage goes on to make a big, big difference between that kind of wisdom and God's kind of wisdom. But the Corinthians hadn't quite clued into that yet. So when they looked at Paul, they probably thought, it sounds like they thought that he might be a little insignificant too. After Paul did not measure up. He did not measure up to the kind of speakers that they were expecting. Nobody was going to invite him to do a TED Talk. Nobody was going to invite him to go all Billy Graham and be an advisor to the president. No one was expecting Paul to do any of these kinds of things, because when Paul got there, he sounded weak, and he sounded like he'd never learned how to talk right. Like, there's a way of speaking that makes you sound like eloquent and persuasive, and like it's easy to, people just hang on your every word and think, I want to be that, I want to do that. But that wasn't Paul. Paul just said simple stuff in a simple way, and it just didn't kind of measure up. It was just kind of insignificant. And it seems like they thought, you know, Paul just really isn't enough. We need something different. We need somebody different. And I can almost hear Paul saying, yeah, you're right. You do need something different. You do need someone different. You don't need me or a fancy, well-educated speaker from the city. What you need is to believe in Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross. We need Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. Let me read some more from that chapter. starting at verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to the people who are perishing, who are dying. But to those of us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the wisdom and the power of God. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Because hasn't God made them look foolish? God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. For since in the wisdom of God, the world, even with all its ideas about wisdom, never got to know God. But God was pleased that through the foolishness of Jesus dying for us, He would save the whole world. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. The Jews heard that Jesus died on the cross and said, well, that's proof that He can't be God's sent one. That's obvious. And it was a stumbling block to them. They couldn't get past it. And foolishness to the Greeks. You're telling me we're supposed to believe in somebody that the Romans crucified? Like, it's ridiculous. But to those of us who are being saved, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is stronger than any human wisdom. And the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And if you think that God is being weak, well, the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength. We need Jesus and His crucifixion more than we need anything that the world thinks is important. That is God's power. That is God's true wisdom. And it saves those who believe. It might look insignificant as far as our world is concerned. But Jesus Christ and Him dying for us on the cross is the true significant thing. The only significant thing when it comes down to what really, really matters. If you really believe that Jesus Christ saves you through His cross and saves you through His resurrection, then you are significant. No matter what you might have thought or what anybody else thinks of you, because your real significance is found in God's wisdom and God's salvation and God's power and God's plan. Your significance is found in God's wisdom because God chooses the insignificant. Verse 26 through 29 says, brothers and sisters, think about what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. I don't see any Prince Harrys or Princess Charlottes around us. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. To say, that's not what's important. This is what's important. So that no one can boast before God, because it's not what we were born with. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's because of that, of Him, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. When God chooses you, you become significant because of who God is and what God has done for you. Because of Jesus Christ crucified, we find our real significance in God's wisdom. We find it in God's wisdom, and we find our real significance in God's salvation, because Jesus saves us through His cross. Jesus has become for us true wisdom, our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Our righteousness. Jesus died for us and made us right with God, part of God's family. Our holiness. Jesus died for us and washed us clean and put his Holy Spirit inside of us so that we become like the holy part in the temple, the place where God lives. Our redemption. Jesus saves us and sets us free from sin and death and fear and everything that is wrong with our world. Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus saves you. And that's what makes you significant. Not what you have done, but what Jesus has done. Your real significance is found in who God is, in God's wisdom, in Jesus' death, in God's salvation, and in God's power. Because God has given you his own Holy Spirit to live inside of you. That's why Paul said that it didn't matter if his preaching sounded insignificant, because the Spirit of God was speaking in and through him. So it was with me, brothers and sisters, he says. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't sound fancy. Or human wisdom. I didn't say all the right things that our culture said that I should say. But I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I resolved to know nothing when I was with you except for this one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified, dying for us on the cross. I came with weakness. I came with fear. I came with trembling. I didn't use wise words. I didn't do anything fancy to convince you. All I did was come and preach Jesus, and God's Spirit spoke to you, and you believed. And Paul goes on to say, it's not just me that has God's Holy Spirit doing that. It's every single one of you. In verse 12, he says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Because of Jesus Christ crucified, God's Holy Spirit, God's own power, is inside of you. That's what makes you significant. But it's not only God's wisdom, not just God's salvation, not only God's power, but God's incredible plan that makes you significant. Later in chapter 2, it says this, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of the age understood it, because if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things are what God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. You see, through Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, through his death and his resurrection, God has prepared a place for you and a reward, eternal life with him. Because of Christ crucified, we find our real significance in God's plan. The most significant thing in the whole wide world, past, present, and future, is not how you were born, where you live, what kind of schooling you did or did not get, whether you measure up to the pop culture of our day, whether you think of yourself as more important or less important than a great big city church in a great big important place. No, the most significant thing in the whole wide world, what gives you your significance, is Jesus. Jesus Christ crucified. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But I, Paul says, resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We may be small and unimportant and insignificant as far as anybody in the world might say anything. But we find our real significance in Jesus Christ who was crucified. You have been chosen. You have been saved. You have been given God's Spirit. And you have been promised eternal life. Now that is significant. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we come to you as little people. Not fancy, not much. But we come to you as your children. And we know that in your eyes, we are of great worth, priceless, loved, celebrated. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for saving us and for making us significant. Help us to know that to the depths of our core, so it changes everything about who we see you to be and who we see ourselves to be. We pray this in your name. Amen. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.